I have come to do a work in you. I've come to work in your heart, to work in your mind, to work in your body, that I may use you as an instrument of righteousness, a vessel of honor. For I make you meet for my use. I prepare you for every good work. And know this, the work that I've come to do, I will finish and complete it when I return again. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, doing a series called Encountering God's Presence. And we've been going to different places. All right, the first place we went to was the garden. And there we learned about God's creativity and how he wants to give us creative solutions for every one of life's problems. Then we went to the Smoky Mountains, Mount Sinai, where God invited Moses up. And we saw how God wants to inhabit. God wants to give us commands. God wants to be with us. And tonight, we're going to a place of provision and salvation and deliverance and protection. All right? If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 45. And we're going to go to the land of Goshen. And we're going to see how God's presence provided for his people, protected his people, delivered his people, and saved his people. Amen? Hallelujah. Genesis 45. And let's start with verse 1. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Excuse me. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I bet so. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Okay? So I want you to see, first of all, that Goshen is a place where God preserves life. Okay? We're going to get to the Goshen part here in just a minute. But it's a place where God was the one who sent Joseph to Egypt. Yeah, but I don't agree how God, the things that God used to get him there. Doesn't matter. God had a purpose for Joseph. He needed an inside man to be put in a heathen place so that his people could be saved. Amen? Joseph is a type and a shadow of Christ. Right? Christ came to this earth to save the world. God put Joseph into Egypt to save his people. Okay? A type and a shadow simply means there's some similarities. All right? It's like a picture of Christ. Okay? So he was there to preserve life. All right? He told his brothers not to be distressed or disheartened or vexed. After all, they didn't use really good means for Joseph, right? They were kind of against him. They were jealous of him, okay? They sold him into slavery. Was not Jesus sold for 30 pieces of silver, right? He was betrayed. One of his own disciples, one of his own quote-unquote brothers, sold him into captivity, betrayed him. All right? Well, let's go down to verse 11, then we'll come back, okay? Verse 6. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing or harvest or plowing. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. There we see the deliverance part. So now, it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And he wasn't even Egyptian. Mm-hmm. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. Okay? And you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I will nourish you or provide for you. For there are yet 5 years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. Goshen was a barrier against poverty. It was a protected place. You know, like sometimes our government will set aside land. I remember when I used to go goose hunting, we would go to southern Illinois, and across from the where we would go goose hunting, there was a game preserve. And you could hear all the geese honking like they were saying, ha, 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 you didn't get us. Because you couldn't go hunt on the game preserve. Because it was protected. It was secure. It was a safe zone for geese. Hunters not allowed. But geese could have a heyday there. So here we see that Goshen is a place of preservation or salvation. Go with me to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. Right after the book of Chronicles. Ezra chapter 9. And he says here, for we were bondmen or slaves, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. Aren't you glad that God doesn't forsake us in our bondage? When we mess up, when we make a mistake, that is not the end. Amen? When you make a mistake, that's when you need to turn to God. And God will deliver you. God will preserve you. He goes on to say, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving. If you came here tonight and you need to be revived, there's a reviving taking place tonight. God wants to resuscitate. He wants to bring you to life. He wants to energize you with his goodness. All right? To set up the house of God. The reason God revives you is so that he's got a work for you to do. And to repair the desolations or the ruins and in Jerusalem. So God comes in our slavery to revive us, to repair his house, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a purpose and a plan for our lives. Now, it was interesting that at this time, The famine had already been going on for 2 years. And there was going to be 5 more years of no plowing, no harvesting. Okay? Goshen has nothing to do with what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter if everything's bad as happening. There's a place in God where you can find safety and security and provision and protection in spite of all the bad things that are happening all around us. But there's a safe place in God. Okay? Say, God will preserve me. Okay? Well, let me give you some examples. God preserved Noah from the flood, didn't he? He protected him. He provided for him. He delivered him. And he saved him. Okay? The Bible says in Genesis 7:23, only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. An ark is a type of Christ. When you hide yourself in Christ, you will not be touched by the trouble and the peril of the world. Okay? How about Abraham's nephew, Lot? Before destruction came, I mean, the angels were saying, come on, Lot, we cannot destroy the city until you're out of here. Right? Why? Because he had a divine connection to a righteous uncle named Abraham. And Abraham was praying for his nephew Lot, and God heard the prayers, and God rescued Lot from evil. He rescued Lot from destruction. He preserved him. See, if you get in the jam, God will make you into a preservative. How about Jacob? When he wrestled with God and he realized, I saw God face to face and I'm still alive. God preserved him. And he wrestled with God. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. And God said, oh, no, no, we don't work that way. Listen, if you want to scuffle with God, he'll scuffle with you. But you're not going to win. And he'll leave his mark on you, right? Jacob left with a limp. But he saw the face of God and his life was preserved. He was amazed at that. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I am so excited, I'm about to jump out of my skin. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here. Do you believe that? Say, Holy Ghost, thanks for being here. You're a great leader. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 4. But you that did cleave to God. What does it mean to cleave? It means to hold on, right? A husband and a wife, they're supposed to hold on to each other. They're supposed to cleave, aren't they? Not a meat cleaver, but to cleave. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Does that sound like God preserved them? Listen, when you hold on to God, he can hold on to you. Say, I'm holding on to God, and I'm not letting go. Why? Because when trouble comes, when things happen all around you, you're holding on to the right source that can protect you and deliver you and provide for you and save you. But you got to hold on to him. You got to, in other words, we sang tonight about trusting Jesus. You got to trust him. In spite, you can't worry about what's happening around you. You got to be worrying about what, you got to be focused on what he's saying. What he's doing. You got to hold on to him. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. This is powerful. Well, it's all powerful, but this is powerful. You know, it's hard to have a favorite scripture because there's so many good ones. Right? It's all good. What's your favorite verse, the book? Who's your favorite author? 66 or 40? Right, 40 different authors. What's your favorite chapter? All 1,189 chapters. Joshua 24, verses 16 to 18. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Make it your point. Don't let any other god take God's place. Don't let any other thing take God's place. Don't let any other person take God's place. Then look at verse 17. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went. Not only did He bring us out, not only did He deliver us, but He preserved us as we went. Guess what? When you left home tonight, God's protection was on you. When you were driving on the road, God's protection was with you. See, the beauty about God's protection, it's not just in one place, it's in one person. And He's everywhere. Amen? Oh, my goodness. He preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Do you know how many victories Israel won without losing a person against an enemy? I don't know how many, but there were a lot. Verse 18, and the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you know that everywhere David went, God preserved him? Do you realize how much he was on the run? Who was he running from? Saul. Saul wanted to kill him because he was jealous. Envy, jealousy, and rage filled Saul's heart. And he went after David. And everywhere David went, God preserved him. God preserved him in the cave. God preserved him in the city. God preserved him in the field. For people who are children of the 80s, David said to Saul, you can't touch this. MC Hammer, right? Why? God preserved him. Listen, when God preserves you, it doesn't matter what the enemy can send, an army of a million men, and he can't touch you. He won't even find you. Because why? You'll be preserved. You'll be saved. Go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. I got to be careful because I got more scriptures than I can do in an hour. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. Last two verses. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord what? Preserves who? Say, I'm faithful, therefore God preserves me. And plentifully rewards the proud. Oh, you don't want to be proud because you're not going to like the reward that you're going to get. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All that hope in the Lord. Take courage right now, tonight. God will strengthen you right now where you're sitting. He will impart His strength to you. Why? Because He wants to preserve you. He continually preserves you. He redeems your life from destruction. Satan's got plans to destroy you. But God makes every one of Satan's plans void. Because God knows where Satan hid all of his traps. You cannot Listen, you could walk through Satan's landmine and not one bomb will go off to harm you when you're walking with God. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 91. Verse 1. You can dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of who? What you doing? I'm hanging under Almighty's shadow. Woo. I will say of the Lord, you've got to declare with your mouth, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You've got to declare it. If you want to be protected, declare your protection. That's how you activate protection. Verse 3, surely. Is that a good word, surely? He shall what? If you believe God will deliver you, say amen. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence or the deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. I don't know if you've ever heard of the boxer named Earthquake Kelly. He was raised to be a voodoo priest. And when he was conceived, his father wanted to abort him. And when the doctor went to perform the abortion, the doctor couldn't find the baby because his mother knew how to pray in tongues. And when they went to abort him, it was unsuccessful. So guess what? He was born. His mom was beat up so bad that she became blind. And God preserved his life. And from the ages of 4 to 11, he was only allowed to sleep 4 hours a night. Because his father was training him to be a voodoo priest. But guess what? God preserved him. And guess what? He's a gospel preacher today. Why? Because God preserved him. Because God hid him in that secret place. And when you're in the secret place, the devil can look, but he'll never find you. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes on noonday. Listen, you have nothing to be afraid of. Not the boogeyman, not the giant man, nothing. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. There may be chaos all around, but there'll be peace right here. That's what was happening in Goshen. Only with your eyes shall you behold it and see the reward of the wicked. But you have made the Lord, have you made the Lord your refuge? Do you trust in Him completely? Are you willing to turn from your way and accept His way? You got to make Him your refuge, the Most High. You got to make Him your habitation. You've got to walk with Him. You've got to talk with Him. You've got to live with Him. You've got to have breakfast with Him. You've got to have lunch with Him. You've got to wake up with Him. You've got to go to bed with Him. Guess what? You've got to have Him all day long. That's how God wants it. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. If a plague even knocks on the door, you do not have to answer it. You need to say, get off my porch. True story. One of my Bible teachers told it to me. back in the 1940s. There was a flood taking place. And this guy had his house right there in the floodplain. And he had read Psalm 91. And as the water was rising, he stood on his porch and he said, "Water, you will not come in this house. I declare that no plague will come near my dwelling." And the water rose. You could see the line where the water was, 3 feet above. You know, you have his door, and it was like 3 feet high on the door. But guess what? It didn't come in the house. He said, "If I'd have known what it was doing, I wouldn't even let it on my porch." If necessary, he'll give his angels charge over you, where you won't dash your foot against a stone. You can tread on a lion and an adder, a young lion and a dragon. You're going to trample under your feet, and guess what? They won't harm you. That's speaking of spiritual things. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, "God will preserve me." See, and what do we have in Goshen? At the fourth plague, which was the plague of flies, God made a distinction between his people and the Egyptians. Between Egypt and... See, now, here's the thing. Goshen is to the east of the Nile River. Goshen was the best of the land. Goshen was good for grazing. And that was good because Jacob was a shepherd. So while they were in Goshen, all the flies... Look, I don't like one fly. Let alone a swarm of flies coming in my house and everywhere that I am. Flies were all over Egypt. But in Goshen, there wasn't a fly to be found. There were boils in Egypt? Yeah. That's the land of Goshen right there. You see that? That's the land of Goshen. Guess what? It was in Egypt, but it wasn't affected that Egypt was affected. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are strangers and aliens. Our home is in heaven. Our home is not this earth. We're just here to impact the earth for a short time. But we got a Goshen called heaven. You don't have to be concerned about the economy. The economy, say this, say the economy is not my source. God is my source. And when the economy's not working, God works. And if you're trusting the economy, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Because guess what? This economy of the world is going to fail. You better know how to live by faith. You better know how to trust God. Because we're coming into some times where the money we have in our pocket may not even be worth a hill of beans. What am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. And he's going to send ravens with a bag of a Whopper in that bag. And those ravens are going to come right to me. "Where'd you get that Whopper?" "I don't care. Just bring it to me and I'm going to eat it." When the livestock was diseased in Egypt, not one livestock was touched in Goshen. You know why? Because at the end, the Bible says that Israel is left with much livestock. That tells me that their livestock was not affected like the ones in Egypt. When people had boils in Egypt, people had smooth skin in Goshen. Right? Why? Protection, preservation, deliverance, salvation. That's where God... It was Joseph who gave Goshen to his father. It was the best of the land. All right? Go to Genesis 45 again. back to Genesis 45. Look at verse 7. Genesis 45 and verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph was appointed by God to preserve his people. To be delivered is a state of being released, set free, or rescued. In Exodus chapter 3, when God was talking to Moses, he said, I've come down to deliver my people. Not deliver a pizza, but to deliver his people. To bring them out. See, here's deliverance. Deliverance is not just bringing you out. But deliverance is bringing you out and bringing you into something better. God can take you out of an abusive situation and bring you comfort and cheer. God can take you out of lack and bring you into plenty. God can take you out of something miserable into something that's joyful. God can take you out of darkness and bring you into the light. God can even take you out of death and make you alive. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, and we know we have passed from death to life when we love the brethren. I'm so glad that I've exited out of death and into life. I've passed from death to life because of what Jesus Christ has done. God's a deliverer. Exodus 6, verses 6 through 8. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. Do you realize God took his people as slaves? They were slaves, but they became his people. Whew! We went from being slaves to being kings and priests. Joseph went from, I like what one preacher said, Joseph went from the pit to the prison to Pierre Cardin. Right? He took him out and brought him into something better. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So he is the Lord. He brings me out into something better. You believe that? How many has had a better life with Christ than without Christ? My life with Christ is much better than it was without Christ. If I didn't have Jesus, I would miss out on such a wonderful marriage. But because I have Jesus, he brought to me a blessing. Whew! Amen. God is a deliverer. When you're in trouble, you don't even have to dial a number. All you got to say is J-E-S-U-S. When you call in trouble, he'll say, hello. He won't put you on hold. You won't have to wait with some elevator music. But the moment you call, he will answer you. He will not say your prayer is important to me. And when the next available prayer counselor, he will not do that. He can answer multiple calls from millions of people at the same time and deliver all of them at once. Hallelujah. Psalm 81, verse 7, you don't have to turn to it. It says, you called in trouble, and I delivered you, and I answered you. He rescued us. All right, go back to Genesis 45, verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord over his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 10 says, and you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and your children and their flocks and your herds and all that you have, and I will nourish you. Goshen is a place of provision. It's where Joseph provided for his father. Now, what was going on at this time? A famine. How many years were they into the famine? Two. They've got five more to go. Listen, you can be in the midst of a famine, and God has more than enough to supply your need. You can be in a desert, and God can cause water to come from a rock. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter if there's a famine. There's a safe place in God where you have a Jehovah Jireh. You have a Father who will provide for you. He is a provider. He's a Father. He's Lord. He's ruler. He's a Father to me. He's my Lord. He's my leader. He's my ruler. He sets me straight. Amen? Goshen is a place in God that can sustain and uphold and provide for you no matter what the circumstances are around you. Go to Genesis 47, 6. Genesis 47, verse 6. Pharaoh told Joseph, he said, the land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Everybody say the best. God wants the best for you. Say, God wants the best for me. Say, God wants the best for me. Say, Lord, thank you for the best. All right? Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. If you know any competent men among them, make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. Huh. All his brothers did was raise livestock. They were guests. They had just come to Egypt to buy grain, and now they're made to rule over Pharaoh's livestock. They became managers. And Joseph got to pick who would manage. Go to verse 11 and 12. Genesis 47. Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession of the land in Egypt. The best of the land, and the land in the land of Ramses. See, Goshen was also called Ramses. Because when they left Egypt, the Bible says they left Ramses. That's another name for Goshen. Ramses and Python were in Goshen. As Pharaoh had commanded, then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household. There were 75 people. How would you like to provide for 75 people in the midst of a famine when there hadn't been any farming for 2 years and there's not going to be any farming for 5 years? Joseph did not say, oh, I hope we have enough. He did not say, I better make this bread last. No. He provided lavishly for his family. Because God had empowered. See, everything that Joseph did, God was with him. And everything that he did, it prospered, it grew, it increased. And for 7 years, Joseph was putting away 20%. 20% he was putting away all the excess of the land of Egypt. They had bumper crops for 7 years. And Joseph prepared because he had insight from heaven. He knew what was going to happen. And there he was. He had more than enough. Everybody say, more than enough. God is a too much God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Do you believe that? We ought to get excited about that. Hallelujah. Genesis 50, verses 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God." That tells me that God, where was God when Joseph was in Egypt? Where was he? He was with Joseph. And if Joseph was in Goshen, God was in Goshen. That proves to me that God's presence was in Goshen. Right? Because God's provision was in Goshen. God's protection was in Goshen. God's deliverance was in Goshen. God's preservation or salvation was in Goshen. Where God is, things work out well. "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant for the good in order to bring you about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you." God will provide. He will meet your needs according to what? His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus is the banker of God's accounts. And he distributes an account number to everyone who believes in him. What's the account number? What's the password? J-E-S-U-S. Call upon that name and you shall be saved. We all can call on him when we need. So God, he's a provider. God told Jacob after he wrestled with him when he was standing on the ladder, Genesis 28, verses 12 through 15. There above stood the Lord. He said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." Now guess what? If God gives you the land, he gives you the means to take care of it. Verse 14, Genesis 28, "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." Say, God's watching me. He's watching over your stuff. I just heard a testimony from Billy Brim. I was watching in my office. And she said there was this place where this person had a ministry, and it was reported that there was a bunch of rabid foxes. And so what they did was, this person that had this ministry there, they pled the blood of Jesus around their property. And they just went on praising God. And then one day they happened to be walking, and they saw five dead foxes in one place. And they examined them, and sure enough, they were all rabid. When the foxes tried to cross the bloodline, they couldn't cross it. They died. Just like when the spirit of death came to the people in Goshen. See, in Goshen, God said, if you put the blood on the doorposts and up here and down here in three places, if you apply the blood to your life, to your house, the spirit of death cannot come in it. They didn't have that information in Egypt. That information was only made known in Goshen. So they took the blood and they applied it to the door. They applied it. And the spirit of death saw that blood, said, "Oh, can't go here." Saw another house of blood, can't go there. Saw another house of blood, can't go there. He could not go where the blood was applied. He had to pass over. God provided for Abraham. God provided for Jacob. God provided for Isaac. Therefore, he will provide for you because those are our great, 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 great grandparents. We are part of their godly line. We are part of their righteous line. So God wants to provide for you. God wants to preserve you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to sustain you and save you. He's got a place. It's not called Goshen for us, it's called Christ. See, because when you put your faith, we're in Christ Jesus now. See, being in Christ is like being in Goshen in that day. See, Goshen was before Jesus came. But now that Jesus come, our Goshen is in Christ Jesus. Our Goshen is in Jesus. It's putting our trust in Him, putting our faith in Him. And we get all the protection. We get all the provision. We get all the deliverance. We get all the saving. When you're in Christ, you're saved. When you're in Christ, you're preserved. When you're in Christ, you're free. When you're in Christ, you get wisdom. You get knowledge. When you're in Christ, He enhances your life. He heals broken hearts. He binds up wounds. He opens blind eyes. He causes the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to shout. Are you in Christ? You want His blessing, His goodness? Let's give Him some praise. Let's give Him some praise. If you can stand up on your feet, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether you realize it or not, those of you that are here were ordained by God to be here tonight.
You surround me with song.
And God wouldn't talk such things to you if He didn't want to manifest His presence to you. He wants to envelop you. Hallelujah. You got to trust Him, though. You got to trust that your Father knows best. You got to trust that He's got the power that you need. Hallelujah. And if you would like prayer over anything, there's not a promise that can't deal with a problem that you're facing. God's got a promise for every problem. God is a personal God. He will come down to you. But you got to come to Him. You got to leave your Egypt. And you got to come to Goshen. You got to leave where you are. And you got to come to where He is.
To our family.
Miss Emma, could you come here? The Lord spoke something to me while you were worshiping. God is telling you that just like when you make a baked good and there's an aroma that fills the kitchen, there's also an aroma when you praise. You're going to tap into a world of praise and worship. In other words, God's going to take you to the elevator and He's taking you higher in worship. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, may her worship create an aromatic pleasure to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If you need prayer, come up right now. You need God to do something. Don't sit there. You come to God. You run to God. You make yourself available to God. Hallelujah. You want to experience the goodness of Goshen. You're now in the land of the living.